This is Pure Decking for Thursday. Well, I know it's Thursday. fuck, what is today? June.
Half
I
your
think.
Battle complete.
I don't know.
Somebody anniversary, I think, of D-Day.
June 7th.
Actually.
I actually had to pull up the fucking clock. June 7th. You know. 1996. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, pointing out just how rigged the game is, and remember not to drink the chemicals that they're putting in the water that turn the freaking frogs gay. I'm Morps. Tonight, we have Sard. Sard, what are you drinking?
Some beer that I don't remember what it is. It's a Hefeweizen. That's all I remember.
So either you've had too much beer or not enough.
Yeah. Yeah, one of those. I remember the brewery is out of Las Vegas, but the can is in the garbage, and the garbage is in the other room, and nope, too far.
Is it the Nevada Brewing Company that makes some decent beer?
No. I don't remember. Not important. Hefeweizen. Tastes good. In a glass. Drinking like a fancy person.
You have an orange slice?
No.
Not fancy enough?
Yeah, well, I also don't have a coaster. Apparently, that's required to be truly fancy.
Oh, yeah, but you have enough angels around. You can use one of them.
Enough what?
Angels. Weren't you the...
Sarah Angels?
Sarah Angels.
How dare you? I would never do that. Defile a Sarah Angel. Those deserve to be put up on the wall.
All right, mental note for next trip.
Oh, I will kick you so hard in the dick.
Speaking,
I have two play sets if you really want to do this.
Speaking of the obsessive compulsive type, are you? What are you drinking?
I'm drinking a large piping glass of steam. Speaking of steam, they did not back down this week, thank God. They did not bow to social justice pressures and will be keeping all their titles. So thank you, Steam, for this scolding in the face.
Nice. Madman, finally, what are you drinking?
Lukewarm Newcastle Brown Ale.
That sounds terrible.
Lukewarm?
Newcastle isn't any good on its own, let alone fucking lukewarm.
So my fridge was dying this morning when I was going to work. So I stuck all the beer and the condiments, which was pretty much all that was in my fridge, in a cooler.
Beer and condiments in a cooler.
Well,
they make ice for that.
Going out for a bit, so I didn't have a lot in the fridge. That, and I've been lazy, so I've just been eating out more than I needed to. But I didn't have any ice. And I'm lazy as fuck, so I left a note on it. Repair dude, when you swap out fridge, please put beer back in it.
He didn't. He
mad.
Yeah, you know why he didn't? Because you didn't say, please help yourself to one when you're done.
Wow.
If you had done that, then he would probably
put
no
longer
there.
Reads pornography either. The idea IKEA catalog satisfies him enough.
So what I have tonight, I need to make a liquor store run because I don't have very much left in the old cabinet there. I did find in the back of the cabinet, apparently I have purchased at some point and forgotten about Kahlua pre-mixed white Russians. So I have one of those. I haven't even opened it yet. Let's just see here.
Wow.
That sounds, I don't know. I'd have to try it. Kind of sounds terrible, though.
Now, depending on where you live, it may actually have vodka in it. I know where I live, I won't buy any of that pre-made crap because it uses malt liquor rather than actual liquor.
No, this says it has vodka in it. It kind of tastes like somebody accidentally spilled a little bit of vodka in chocolate milk.
Just the way a proper white Russian should taste.
That'll fuck any 5-year-old up.
That's kind of what it feels like I'm drinking. Something meant for a 5-year-old. So, desperate times, right? Anyways. Yeah, I need to make a liquor store run sometime soon. It's like, can I hold out till next week when I'm going to be going by where it's cheaper? Maybe.
Buy in bulk, dude.
Oh,
that's what I usually do. I usually spend $150-$200 when I'm there. The problem is I buy stuff I like, so it doesn't sit in the cabinet as long as you would expect.
That's my problem, too.
And I have a high tolerance, so it's just like, how much bourbon did you drink? Oh, half the bottle. Yeah, well. Usually not quite that bad, but you know what I mean.
All right, so there's no chance of getting a liver transplant from mops.
No, you don't want that.
Oh, there's another one.
It's like, what's he? Oh, he works in security. No, you don't want that liver.
Yeah.
It's like, what do they do? They drink to drink. They drink to cope and to forget.
Yeah. There is a pain medicine.
Yep. So let's.
If anyone was curious, though, Steam were under a lot of pressure in the last 48 hours to remove a lot of their titles for sale.
Oh, the Weeboo games and stuff?
Yeah, it was a pretty big fight. Not really happy with the exact wording that Steam put out, but you can go read it yourself. And essentially, they said they'll be keeping everything, and they will only not sell games that they deem illegal or are illegal. That's the bit I have trouble with, that they think are illegal. But anyway, good news for all those who like to wade through the trash after trash pieces of shit Steam put up on their pages for sale. Yeah, enjoy.
If you have any discomfort during the experience, please signal a facilitator.
The fuck did you get that from?
I don't remember.
Who's the facilitator? Because I'm uncomfortable because RU is here.
I think RU is the facilitator. He's the one with the most experience in the field.
Yeah.
Yes. You need a bit of wrangling. I'm your boy. We're going to need a bigger boat.
I need a different adult. One without a cock ring. One without a cock ring.
Why does the facilitator always have a hard on? Always. He's always watching me.
I need an adult.
I am an adult.
Oh, shit.
So if you haven't figured out by now, this is a plus 18-year-old show.
No shit, Sherlock.
Mommy, what's a cock ring?
Something your dad needs and won't wear one for me.
Oh.
Oh.
Well, after it got stuck on the dog, you know.
God.
As bad as he's envisioning all of this.
Yes, I have a very robust fucking mind here when it comes to picturing things. Whoops, you do not look good holding a dog leash. Anyway.
I'm not hipster enough to do that, so.
I'm going over to DeviantArt to see if someone will commission a drawing of Morps for me.
Wow.
First story, please.
All right, first story is from The Intercept and is sad. Here's the email Russian hackers, dun-dun-dun, tried to use to break into the state voting system. Do I have the dramatic sound effect? Maybe? Okay, close enough.
BSV isn't here. Of course you don't have it. All right, he's going to show up. 3, 2, 1. God damn it, BSV.
Okay, bring on the sensationalism. Just days before the 2016 presidential election, hackers identified by the National Security Agency as working for Russia. attempted to breach American voting systems. Among their specific targets were the computers of state voting officials, which they had hoped to compromise with malware-laden emails, according to an intelligence report published previously by The Intercept. Now we know what those emails look like. An image of the malicious email provided to The Intercept in response to a public records request in North Carolina reveals precisely how hackers, who the NSA believed were working for the Russian military intelligence, impersonated a Florida-based e-voting vendor and attempted to trick its customers into opening malware-packed Microsoft Word files. You know, I'm going to quit reading all this hyperbole here. The screenshot. So we have a screenshot from an older version of Outlook. It says VR Systems Inc., but then they've got a Gmail address on there, right? And then the attachment is new EVID user guidelines.docm. This is the same classic phishing email that you get for spreading any kind of crypto malware, crypto miners, phishing. This is bog standard email bullshit. I mean, yeah, I get 100 of these a day.
Nothing new here.
No,
it's sophisticated.
It's a macro virus. It's a Word macro virus. Like I said, these things come in 100 a day.
Okay, so how is this swinging elections? That's
about that. They even sent out a notice a little while later from their IT department saying the email was malware. Don't open it, please.
Well, that's why user education is important still, because there's apparently fucking retards out there still that fall for this kind of stuff. Where I don't know, it's so blatantly obvious to us, but is that just because we're in this field, like we pay attention and
I guess
have heard about this stuff?
No, it's
because
you have four functioning brain cells.
Is it that? Like, I don't know. Like, well, there's got to be a disconnect somewhere.
Let's keep reading here, just because this is the amount of attention they're giving a phishing email. In addition to having arrived from a Gmail account, then how do you know it was a Russian hacker?
All Russians use Gmail, dude.
Yeah.
It's a Gmail account. Must be a Russian hacker.
Yeah.
God.
The G in Cyrillic is an R, which is,
especially considering,
obviously stands for Russia.
Especially considering the original email looks like they took the signature from VR Elections and VR Systems and just munch it up, which is a common practice for these guys. Now, they probably started picking apart the macros in the macro document, because I've done that myself, and you'll occasionally find other languages in there. And if they found Russian in there, that doesn't actually mean it was the Russian military. But, okay. So, let's see here. In addition to having arrived from a Gmail account rather than an actual VR Systems address, the attacker also appears to have slipped up and used the British spelling of modernized in the email body. But to a state election official reading quickly in the frantic period before a presidential election without an eye open for the hallmarks of a phishing attack and accustomed to such emails from VR, the message could have disastrous and completely unexpected consequences. North Carolina experienced a variety of widely reported software glitches on election day in 2016. Is glitch an acceptable word now? Because, I mean,
no, it's a word from the fucking 80s. It's buzzword now. People use that word when they don't understand what the fuck they're talking about.
I was going to say, it didn't feel like the right word here. So, Jake Williams, founder of the cybersecurity firm Rendition InfoSec and a former NSA hacker. Was that a job title at the NSA? Hacker?
Yes.
Okay. Told the
Intercept. No, it wasn't, but it should have been.
Told The Intercept that there appears to be nothing very sophisticated about the email attack, which he said is ironically part of the playbook for a more advanced attacker. There's no evidence of an advanced attacker, therefore an advanced attacker is...
Yeah, it's...
Come on, dude. It's
a standard operating procedure for any attacker, because people are dumb shits, as we've seen now, and it works. That's why people use it.
A visually simple message would have helped the attackers blend into the noise, said Williams. As indicated in the NSA report, the attached Word documents posing as documentation for VR system software would have invisibly downloaded a malware package that could have provided the attacker with remote control over target's computer. The report further indicated that the malware spiked documents actually did contain legitimate detailed instructions on how to configure eVid voting software on Microsoft Windows machines, suggesting that if a state official had opened the documents, they might not have had immediate cause for concern. Williams said the use of .docm file extension on the Word document should have been very suspicious on its own. No shit. As using such extension allows code in the file to run automatically. He also said the use of recycled malware increases the chances of detection a little, but also decreases the chances of correct attribution a lot. Williams also noted that VR system... Well, go ahead. Good. I'm just reading this for you guys to pick apart.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, where is this fucking organization's IT department? Why have they not blocked these kind of attachments? Because, like we've already discussed, this is standard operating procedure for these attackers. Why, like in any organization, anyone that I've ever talked to, you block this shit at the gateway because it's obvious.
Yeah, most modern email systems will have a checkbox, block scripts.
Yeah.
That'll take care of most of this
shit. Shit through. Why, where's this IT organization or whatever, you know?
Well, it's government, so it's probably underfunded, and the people working there probably don't give too much of a shit.
Well, then why? Well, I don't know. Is anyone really surprised?
The head of IT is probably disabled the firewall so it can download an emulated Pokemon Go fucking game.
Yeah, you know, that shit happens.
I think it's hilarious that their expert, in their own article, just said, using recycled malware means we don't know who the fuck did this. But the very first line, Russia.
Russians.
That's a good point, too.
I have a whole other argument on the whole Russia hacked the election thing, not based on any of the crazy conspiracy stuff, just based on how this information's used. So, but we can touch on that here in a minute. Williams also noted that VR systems claimed in their email security alert that they didn't know the potential impact of opening these attachments, even as it was warning customers against doing so. Why not, Williams wonders? Did they follow up with customers after they found out what the impact was, or did they just drop it? Well, I've seen this a lot. You have a lot of sysadmins who, the moment they know it's malware, they're terrified of opening it, and they just won't. They won't figure out what it does. They just go, oh, no, it's bad. Don't do it. It's like, well, did you run it in a VM? Did you see what it did? Did you look at its network traffic? No, it's a virus. I wasn't going to run it. Yeah.
So that's because it's that's an advanced skill set, I think, that
really
most people don't have. I would consider it, yeah.
I've been told that I need to realize that more people don't understand this shit by multiple people lately, so I don't know. In my mind, that's the obvious thing to do.
Yeah. No, and that's what I was trying to get at earlier is like, is it us or is it, I don't know, real people or whatever? They really just don't understand this shit because it seems just so obvious.
VR Systems COO Ben Martin told The Intercept that following the attack, the company had hired a leading threat intelligence firm, which conducted a byte-by-byte analysis. Why would you analyze anything byte-by-byte? That's dumb. That's a waste of time.
You want to make the articles, the writer sound, make them sound like they're more technically skilled than they are?
Okay, you opened it up in a hex editor. Next? I mean, come on. You don't need a byte-by-night analysis to understand what a fucking Word macro does.
But considering they've already let it through and it's in the inbox, I don't think their security team's really up to scratch, if you know what I mean.
I don't think they did a byte-by-byte analysis. I think this is the author flourishing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Byte-by-byte analysis of our systems and found no indications that our systems have been breached as a result of this spear phishing attack. That's not spear phishing, that's just phishing, but okay. As of today, however, the company said that the impact of clicking on the attachment is unknown to VR Systems. When a customer alerted us to an obviously fraudulent email purported to come from VR Systems, we immediately notified our customers by email. Don't open our emails. They might be you know, by email. Yep, yep. And advised them not to click on the attachment. Most election officials would have security systems in place that would have flagged the email before it even reached the intended recipient. After we notified our customers of the potential threat, most told us that their spam filter already caught the email or that they had never received it. We are only aware of a small number of customers who actually received the fraudulent email, and of those, none of them notified us that they clicked on the attachment or were compromised. None of them owned up to getting pwned.
Yeah, I was just going to say, of course no one said anything. They don't want to admit it.
Yeah, still Martin noted that VR isn't aware of every recipient of the malware message. How would they be? It was somebody spoofing them, which would make an accounting of its impact difficult, if not impossible. The company provided voter registration and poll book software to 8 states in 2016. Its November 1 alert about an email threat was later provided to elections official named Michael Dickinson in Mecklenburg County, North Carolina, and forwarded to The Intercept by the county in response to its public records request. Blah, 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 blah. The NSA report concluded that it was unknown whether Russian military intelligence was able to successfully compromise any of the entities targeted as part of its campaign. So their point, well, you know, that saying it's Russia is just that the NSA said it was.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, is they can't definitively say it because the IT organization in this place is non-existent, so they don't have any logging, so they have no fucking clue what actually happened.
So, well, it came from a Gmail account, so anybody could have sent it. It was recycled malware. So, let me, attribution of this kind of stuff in a vacuum is impossible. And maybe the NSA saw, because the NSA does do some monitoring, so if they saw a whole bunch of the spam email being generated from actors that they've identified as Russian, I can see where they'd get that. Fine. But just on its own, this phishing email is a joke. Most organizations get thousands of these a day. And like they were saying in the article, most of the time email filters take care of it. And all of the hallmarks of that malware or of that phishing message alone, as it stood, it was impossible to attribute. So they've got to be saying that we saw some other behavior that makes us think that this was Russian in nature. But now that said, you know, you want to talk the whole Russia hacked the election thing. Does anybody else find it really weird that Russia would have taken information that would have been really useful from a blackmail point of view and given it away before an election that the person they could have blackmailed with it was slated to win up until like a couple hours before the polls closed?
I don't give more than 10 seconds of thought on this a day anymore, Morbs.
I'm just saying.
To be honest.
I
know what you're saying, man. It's...
Okay, we don't have to touch the politics of it. I just...
No. I don't mind touching it. It's just so fucking ridiculous that this scenario even happened to start with. Like, and the minute that Alexander Downer was named as... part of this fucking steel dossier or whatever. Dude, I checked out. Alexander Downer is a fucking wanker. The guy's a lying piece of shit to start with. And I was railing about that guy back in the IHN days on how big a Weasley piece of shit he was. So, well,
I'm just saying from a behavior standpoint, it doesn't make any sense. Why would you publish that kind of information? You wouldn't. Hillary was slated to win the election right up until like a couple of hours after the polls opened. You would have hung on to that information and used it for blackmail down the road. I mean, come on.
They didn't try to hack the elections. They did try to influence the election and the American populace. And the reason I say this is, if you look at the funds that they're trying to trace back to Russia, they were spent on whichever candidate in the primary wasn't slated to win. So they actually funded Bernie Sanders, just to keep the Democrat primary going. They funded everyone in the Republican Party, because just about everyone in the Republican Party at one point in time looked like they were going to drop out, and they wanted to keep it going as long as possible.
In other words, they were just screwing with it.
Yeah, in the general, they backed Trump. Not because they wanted Trump to win, but because you keep it going and you keep fucking with people.
Yep.
After Trump won, there are funds linked to several anti-Trump protests.
Okay, fair
it's
enough.
Not
I mean,
that they want yeah, any it's... one person to win. It's that if the U.S. is fucking with itself, arguing with itself, and crapping on itself, Guess what it's not doing? It's not practicing hegemony over the world.
And also, too, if you've ever played Civilization, there is a little victory called a cultural victory. And if Russia did actually do anything to cause this level of chaos, which I don't think they did, I think it's just your own media fucking with you. Dude, this would be considered a major point towards a cultural victory for Russia.
Fair enough. I just, it's on its own, this email saying, here it is, here's the evidence. No, that's a bog standard phishing email, dude. There's thousands of those a day. I mean, come on.
I mean, at the end of the day, these guys really need to get this shit under wraps and be done with it, you know?
Yeah.
Let's get back to some resemblance of normality, please.
It won't happen until after the next presidential election.
Oh, here comes the black helicopters. Wish they would wait. Wish they'd fly over the house a little bit earlier in the day, as opposed to when we're trying to record, but, you know, hey, whatever.
Anyway. What's funny, there could actually be black helicopters over his apartment right now. You might not be joking.
I just heard one. What are you talking about? They fly over here all the time. I don't know. I mean, I don't know that there's anything wrong with them. They're helicopters, and usually when I see them, they're painted black. They fly over the area all the fucking time. So, anyways, I don't know what they're for. Anyways, next article is from CNBC.com. About 14 million Facebook users who thought they were posting messages just to friends or smaller groups may have actually been sharing it widely with the general public due to a software bug, the company said Thursday. Facebook users' post typically defaults to a pre-selected privacy setting. However, a bug that was active from May 18th to May the 27th changed the post to automatically to be public. Oh, oops, we were accidentally making everything public again. Don't post private shit to Facebook. Use a decent messenger.
What do you expect? Run by a lizard.
You know. Pretty sure. Is it a lizard in a robot body? Is that what it is now? I mean, I saw the GIF where it flipped out in front of. Yeah, anyways. There is a great GIF.
I think the lizard ate the robot and occasionally vomits bits of it up.
There was a great GIF somebody took of Zuckerberg in front of Congress where, like, you know, he blue screened and the technicians come out and start fixing him.
So, yes.
Whoever did that did a fantastic job. Anyways, the posts were clearly marked as public, but users who were used to their privacy settings could have easily overlooked. Yeah, because they weren't being respected. The company said it went back and recategorized the affected post to the user's default setting before the bug, and the problem has been fixed. In addition, Facebook will notify the 14 million users who could have been affected starting Thursday with an alert in their notifications. Starting today, we're letting everyone know, letting everyone affected know and asking them to review any post they made during that time. Chief Privacy Officer Aaron Egan said in a statement, "We'd like to apologize for this mistake. It's another misstep in Facebook's ongoing privacy issues, blah, 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 blah." Okay, so once again, Facebook's just making everything public, even though you've said it not to. Now, they said it was due to a software bug, and bugs happen, but at some point...
Someone just forgot to flick the NSA switch back off.
What the fuck? That wasn't my cat.
Wow. Bad kitty.
Madman? You alive over there?
He's busy.
Yes.
Huh? You have to fend off a wild creature there?
No problems. I've got guns.
So do I, but I usually don't need them for dealing with a house cat.
Not necessarily need as much as enjoy.
Ah. Let's just check here. That chamber's clear. Okay, cool. Anyways, sorry, what were we saying?
Man, we've been doing radio for how many years now? Please do not let today be the day that someone accidentally discharges on air. All right, I have considered it a win for this long that we've never had an accidental discharge on air.
I made sure the chamber was clear before I...
If anything, it's got to be on IHN. That's the proper place for that.
Hey, y'all, watch this!
It is kind of funny how none of their bugs set everything to private.
Yeah. Yeah, that's suspicious, isn't it, Madman?
It just tells you what the default setting in the software is.
Yeah, someone just forgot to switch the NSA setting off.
Ooh, the fappening number 3, perhaps?
Oh, yeah.
14 million, how many of these are bikini models?
Wait, there was a 2?
Wait, you missed 2?
I apparently missed 2. I thought there was only 1.
No, there's
been 2.
Who
was in 2? I need some links, people.
We'll deal with that after the show, because I think some of them, I think they had the same problem that some of them were under. The reason I remember is they said some of them were under age, and like so a lot of people were deleting it because they thought they had kiddie porn. So,
good news, they're 18 now.
Madman, I don't think that helps if you have pictures of them before they're 18.
God damn it, Madman.
No, it's okay. The picture's 30 years old. What happened to Madman?
She has kids now. It's good.
What happened to Madman? Oh. Somebody cut his head off with a shovel. I mean...
God. You know that vivid... oh, God. I blue screened. Fuck this.
Why don't we move on? Next article is from the BBC. Apple will attempt to frustrate tools used by Facebook to automatically track web users with the next versions of iOS and macOS operating systems. We're shutting that down, declared Apple software chief Craig Furtarelli at the firm's developer conference. He added that the web browser Safari would ask owners' permission before allowing the social network to monitor their activity. The move is likely to add tension between the two companies. Apple's chief executive Tim Cook had previously described Facebook's practices as being an invasion of privacy, an opinion that Facebook's founder Mark Zuckerberg subsequently denounced as being glib. What the fuck's that mean?
Glib.
Glib. Being glib.
Being a downer, looking at the negative side of things.
That's not an argument.
See, we're not spying on you because we want to know everything about you. We're spying on you so that we can tell you to buy Apple Jacks. and you're right next to that store that sells Apple Jacks. And we really know that you're craving it right now. We've been spying on you.
Facebook has decided to ignore Tim Cook's arguments as depressing. Come on.
What a fucking world that we live in now that companies are outdoing other companies based on like privacy settings. Like in the future, are you going to be like, it's going to be like a selling point. Like our browsers, you know, defeats Facebook's tracking. Oh, well, our, you know, music player or whatever doesn't track as much as iTunes does, so use our shit. Like,
no, it's going to be like it is now, where, you know, oh, your neighbor keeps his windows, his blinds shut all the time, and you hear noises coming from the house at night? You better denounce him, I mean, report him. It's going to be, oh, you're not letting you don't have a Facebook account? You're not using all the tracking. You turn your Wi-Fi off on your phone when you leave. You don't have a smartphone. Are you a terrorist? I mean, come on.
Well, I don't think Apple wins points simply because Apple's still tracking you. They're not letting their competitor track you. So it's we're still going to be able to market to you because we still know what you are and what you're buying. We're just not letting Facebook know this, so there's one fewer person selling your shit. We're still selling your shit. Now, if they weren't selling my shit, then super kudos, and this would be awesome as hell.
So
I might even go from Android to Apple.
Yeah. Anyways, at the rest of the conference, they show off Safari, detecting and blocking Facebook tracking from like the like button, and they've got some more quotes in here about it. But
what about Twitter? Twitter tracks and watches you too, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, but this doesn't say anything about it. This is specifically saying Facebook.
Oh, they're throwing Zuckerberg under the bus.
They have been for the last 6 months, Madman. They blame him.
Not that he's doing something different than the rest of them. He's become the Judas goat.
Yes, he has.
So...
Because they figured out, no matter how much they corral you on Facebook, they can't stop you from talking.
Speaking of, so
link for Zuckerberg skin boots?
No, not yet. This is from CNBC. Special Counsel Robert Mueller's team is requesting that witnesses turn in their personal phones to inspect their encrypted messaging programs. Special Counsel Robert Mueller's team. Oh, I just read that. And potentially view the conversations between associates linked to President Donald Trump, sources told CNBC. Since as early as April, Mueller's team has been asking witnesses in the Russia probe to turn over phones for agents to examine private conversations on WhatsApp, Confide, Signal, and Dust. Well, Confide's not going to do any good. Didn't that thing delete it after it's been viewed? I thought that was the selling point of the app.
Yeah, I thought most of them did that.
Yeah. I don't know. I've played with Confide before. I liked it, although there were some articles about it not too long ago, like last year, that said its privacy wasn't as good as they claim. I don't think any
Hello,
of them
sir.
Are
do
good.
You have your warrant? If you do not have your warrant, I do not have my smartphone.
Well, let me keep going with the article here. Fearing a subpoena, the witnesses have complied with the request and have given over their phone, the sources said. While it's unclear what Mueller has discovered, if anything, through this new request, investigators seem to have been convinced that the apps could be a key to exposing conversations that weren't previously disclosed to them. A spokesperson for the special counsel declined to comment. So, and then the rest of it is, you know, a whole bunch of analysis there. But short version, yeah, they're not bothering with a warrant or a subpoena. They're just saying, give us the phones or we'll get the warrant. Or we'll get the subpoena.
And so afraid of a subpoena being issued that they're handing shit over.
Yep.
Oh, but if they don't want their name to get public. That's the only reason. Right now, Mueller doesn't actually have them listed in any documents that could be turned over to anyone, and they don't want their name in court record. That's the only reason I can think of to avoid a subpoena.
Well, I mean, If you're subpoenaed, you don't have a lot of control over what you're being asked to talk about, right? And what you have to provide. By doing this way, at least they're volunteering. You know, they're quote unquote volunteering it.
If they're handing over the cell phone to avoid a subpoena on the cell phone, Mueller's still getting all the same information he would have gotten before.
Hmm. So, I don't know. I just that one struck me as weird, especially the whole phrase "fearing a subpoena." So, yeah. Let's see. What's the revelation that Trump associates are giving Mueller access to their encrypted apps comes as former campaign chairman Paul Manafort is accused of by investigators of tampering with witnesses through the same types of programs. On Monday, the special counsel filed a claim that Manafort tampered with witnesses after he was indicted in February for money laundering. Illegally acting as a foreign agent. For evidence, Deputy Mueller's team listed two apps, WhatsApp and Telegram, that they say Manafort used to contact the witnesses in his case. The filing also says that those conversations were provided to Mueller in May, a month after witnesses say they were approached to provide their phones. Representatives from WhatsApp, Signal, and Dust did not return requests for comment. A representative for Confide could not even be reached. Legal experts aren't surprised. There's nothing wrong with asking people to voluntarily provide information for the FBI or whatever investigation, said Michael German, retired FBI agent. Yeah, I mean, you know, they're asking for them and getting them, so it's not a legal battle. It's not a subpoena. I just thought that one was weird.
Yeah, it's a bit weird. I do think it's hilarious what they're going after Manafort for. Happened 15 years before Trump election. So possibly the special counselor's overstepping, perhaps?
Maybe just a little.
You know, maybe a decade and a half before Trump, when he was working for a Democrat? Different party.
Doesn't matter.
Maybe.
Doesn't matter, he joined the dark side. Anybody who supported Trump, they're gonna get in one way or another. Whether or not they're actually legally done anything. By the way, by that statement, I don't know whether they've done anything or not. I'm not making that claim. I'm just saying they're going after these people whether they have or not.
So, everybody on both sides of the aisle said this dude's skeezy. So he may actually be guilty of the money laundering and crap. I just want to point out how long ago it was, and that the current special prosecutor wasn't supposed to be looking into that particular crime.
Well, nobody's calling him on it, so I don't guess it's going to matter.
It's not going to matter. And even if somebody called him on it, he could just say, okay, I can't indict you. Guess who can indict you? Every other prosecutor in the judicial department. You can guess what's going to happen.
Yeah, somebody will.
One of them's going to be like, oh, my docket's empty. Just pass everything over to me. Where's the GIMP? Somebody wake up the GIMP.
Yeah. I'd like to be famous. I'll prosecute you.
Yeah.
Get on the communist fucking news network every night.
So, next article is from the BBC, and RU sent me this one. Years of video evidence gathered by police have been lost thanks to a ransomware attack in Atlanta in the U.S. Most of the lost evidence involves dash cam recordings, said Atlanta Police Chief Erica Shields in a local newspaper interview. The footage was lost and cannot be recovered, said Ms. Shields. About one-third of all software used by city agencies and departments is believed to have been affected by the attack, which took place in March. Details of the damage... Go ahead.
If it's evidence against the cop, I believe they listened to earlier episodes of the show where we're like, oh, infect your own machine.
Did we come up with that advice?
Yes.
I don't know if you said it, but I'm fairly certain other people on the show.
Someone did.
Hint, hint, nod, nod. May have said something like, oh, so if I infect my own machine, I have plausible deniability. The cops are learning. Kudos. I feel my taxpayer dollars are less wasted. But remember, I also carry firearms. You're not getting me easily.
Damn. details of the damage done to Atlanta's computer infrastructure emerged during a public meeting held to debate how the city should spend its budget. The hearings revealed that the city had assigned an extra $9.5 million to finance its recovery efforts. At the meeting, officials from the city administration revealed the attack was more severe than originally thought. More than 140 separate applications were totally or partially disabled by the attack, and Daphne Rackley, who heads Atlanta's IT department, About 30% of the affected programs were mission critical, as they were used by either the police or the courts, she said. The municipal courts in Atlanta were shut down for several weeks during the height of the attack, and huge amounts of legal documents stretching back decades are believed to have been scrambled by the malware. Police Chief Shields told the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that despite losing the video recordings, no crucial evidence has been compromised. Given the amount of data we're talking about, how do you know? Anyways.
Yeah.
Dashcam footage was a use...
different systems?
Yeah.
Archive stuff that's not backed up.
Darth?
Yeah.
Once again, when will people understand you need to invest in IT? If your business relies on IT, you need to invest in it.
Let's see. Dashcam footage was a useful tool, said Ms. Shields, but added that other evidence, such as testimony of an officer, would make or break a case. Video footage is always better than testimony. Come on, people.
Yeah.
Files on individual officers' computers were also hit in the attack, although much of this data was backed up elsewhere, she said, and so was not entirely lost. Hackers behind the infection known as SAMSAN encrypted key data and demanded $51,000 of Bitcoin to unlock it. Atlanta said it had not paid the ransom. So, yep.
Wow.
So, do you think Atlanta is going to be, I don't know, calling up any big data storage company and be like, hey, how much for a server rack?
Probably not. Very few companies learn
storage.
Instead, they're going to admonish the IT department for the unexpected spend.
Damn.
It's usually how that shit goes.
But backing up shit's becoming dirt cheap.
So if I'm a criminal in Atlanta right now about to be prosecuted, I'm going for a mistrial.
Right.
The evidence has been lost that could prove my innocence, Your Honor.
Yeah.
Well, Well, not only that, I mean, you know, anybody who's worked in IT knows this routine. You come in, you know, the next day saying, I told you so. They'll say, well, no, you didn't convince us that it was a problem. Therefore, you were the one who didn't prevent it. You've had that happen, Sard.
Thankfully, no, because that would just, that would make me explode. That's...
Yeah.
Yeah,
I hope that never happens.
That's a fun conversation.
God.
That's a fun conversation where you get to reference emails that you've been sending for months saying, no, I told you this was going to happen. Here's all the evidence. Here's how important it was. Here's the impact. Well, I didn't understand. You should have made sure I understood. I can't help you didn't read it. I can tell you didn't
read it. Morphs isn't bitter. I can tell you right now. He is not bitter at all.
Nope, not at all. Moving on. Next article is from DSL Reports and might be following a theme. Lawmakers are not particularly impressed by reports that the Trump FCC made up several DDoS attacks to downplay massive public opposition to their net neutrality repeal, then repeatedly lied to reporters trying to get to the bottom of the scandal. A report by Gizmodo this week noted that the agency made up the attack after the FCC website collapsed under the load of angry citizens that had just watched HBO comedian John Oliver's 2017 report on net neutrality, apparently hoping to downplay massive public anger at the FCC policies. Well, I mean, that's an old thing that websites get knocked down whenever, you know, like a popular TV show or something links it. I mean, Reddit used to, you know, the Reddit effect, the Digit effect. I mean, hell, that shit's gone back for years.
It's a long, it's a big leap to say that John Oliver is responsible.
It is.
And his audience.
I mean, either way, it's that's not the point. The point is they fucking lied about, oh, it's a DDoS. It's not actual people. No, it's actual people going there and trying to tell them we don't want this and then blatantly ignoring it.
The report.
How do we know it wasn't John Oliver's Russian hackers using DDoS attack?
The report obtained FCC staffer emails showing they repeatedly misled reporters, then used those factually incorrect reports to prop up their bogus DDoS attack claims. House Energy and Commerce Committee ranking member Frank Polloni said he wasn't particularly impressed by the report and urged FCC to cooperate with ongoing GAO investigations into the DDoS attack that wasn't. Last summer, I directed Government Accountability Office investigations to get to the bottom of this alleged cyber attack and the FCC's unusual response, said Polloni. In light of today's news, I call on Chairman Ajit Pai to ensure the FCC fully cooperate with the GAO investigation so American people can finally get a full accounting as to what happened in advance of the agency stripping away critical net neutrality protections. You know, you think this article is a little slanted? I mean...
Just a little.
Of course, the bogus DDoS attack is only one of several scandals plaguing Ajit Pai's FCC. The GAO is also investigating who is behind millions of bogus comments filed at the FCC website during the public comment period on the repeal of net neutrality. The only real chance the public had to weigh in on the proposal, not that the FCC listened, Ajit Pai himself was also being investigated by the nonpartisan FCC Inspector General for possible corruption in the wake of his efforts to gut media consolidation rules at Sinclair Broadcast Group's request. So, yeah, according to Gizmodo, at least the FCC just made up all the DDoS attacks.
Yeah, why not?
I mean, there was all this traffic coming into my website at once. I couldn't provide service. Doesn't this meet the definition of a DDoS attack?
It does. Sort of.
I mean, there were all people there legitimately wanting my service.
That's not a DDoS attack. It's more just a DDoS effect. It's not an attack. It's not intentional, but... Anyways, next article is from Torrent Freak. A VPN provider in private internet access, which has a strict no logging policy, has proven once again that it is unable to link on online activities with the user's identity. The conclusion, which was revealed as part of a hacking trial in San Jose federal court, is the second time that the provider's claims have been successfully tested in public. In April of 2017, San Francisco resident Ross M. Colby was arraigned in the U.S. federal court in San Jose following a FBI investigation into alleged hacking offenses. The 34-year-old was accused of hacking into several local media websites owned by the Impicardo Media Group, including the Palo Alto Weekly and the Almanac. He was charged with intentional damage to computer, attempted damage, and misdemeanor computer intrusion. According to the indictment, Colby illegally accessed Impicardo's media email accounts in July 2015. Then in September 2015, several of the company's websites were hacked to display the Guy Fawkes image associated with Anonymous. Hang on. That's not it.
Oh, fuck.
I can't find it now. Fuck, where did... There we go.
We will not forgive. We do not forget.
The message... Yeah, I can't remember what fucking button the sound effects are, though. So maybe we will forget. the message, unbalanced journalism for profit at the cost of human right, brought to you by the Almanac, was also left behind. Facing more than 2 decades in prison and fines totaling several $100,000, Colby pleaded not guilty and was freed on bail. On May 29, 2018, Colby's trial began in federal court in San Jose. Palo Alto Online has been reporting on the case, which has thrown up something of interest to VPN users. According to evidence provided by FBI Special Agent Anthony Fraser, between July and September of 2015, IP addresses operated by VPN provider Private Internet Access were used to access email accounts and systems belonging to the Impicardo Media. A former Colby roommate claims the pair discussed computer security and frequently had discussions about use of VPNs, even helped Colby set one up. Last Friday, San Jose Federal Court also heard that Colby told his roommate he'd hacked a news website for pay. Also giving testimony was John Arlen Arsenault, general counsel for London Trust Media, owner of Private Internet Access. According to Almanac News, Arsenault told the court that some VPN companies, PI included, do not retain logs of customers' internet activities. This means they are unable to provide useful information in response to a subpoena. Arsenault also told the court that PI accepts several payment methods, including cryptocurrency, but doesn't keep records of customers' names and addresses. The only thing the company holds is the email addresses used when the customer signs up. There was no record of Colby Ross signing up to PI with his two known email addresses, Arsenault said. We're limited to search by what the government gives us. Just because we can't find it doesn't mean they didn't use the VPN service, he said.
Whoa. That they're using that to prosecute him with?
No, they're using the fact that his roommate claimed he did it.
Ah, okay.
Someone could create a throwaway email account to subscribe to us. He said it's just a VPN provider justifying why they don't have records.
Because they're a VPN. I don't want you to keep my records. Part of the customer, experience that you don't give me up to the local agencies the minute they come sniffing.
So,
that's why I give you money.
Yep. So while PIA could not connect Colby's IP addresses to any illegal activity, the same could not be said of other companies. Evidence presented to the court showed that in addition to the PIA addresses that were used to access the Impicardo Media email accounts, an IP address belonging to Comcast was also used on 20 occasions. Records provided by Comcast showed that John Colby, Ross Colby's father, and a retired Massachusetts state trooper was assigned to that particular IP address between June and 2015 and October 2015, and the date of the FBI subpoena to Comcast. John Colby further testified that his son stayed with him for about 10 days in July 2015, a period which coincided with the email breaches at Impicardo Media. Whoops, your own dad's pleading out on you. You're probably a dick.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. I was going to say, you're using him against him. That's what.
Evidence provided by the FBI also showed that an IP address used by Ross Colby at his home in San Francisco was used to access Impicardo Media accounts, as was an IP address registered to a cafe frequently used by Colby. The case highlights some important points for those interested in internet security. Most interesting for privacy advocates is this is the second time that private internet access's no logging policy has been tested in court. Such claims are notoriously difficult to prove, but PIA has now passed twice.
Yeah,
so,
saw that hit Reddit. People were advocating it. Because it must have been because of this case.
There's this one, and there's the older one a couple of years ago where the same thing basically happened, although I think it was a stalking case. However, the big lesson is that if internet crime is serious enough to invoke the FBI, IP address evidence will be just part of the equation, with testimony from family and associates playing a major role too. So the case hasn't been decided yet, but yeah. So the thing is, if you have private internet access already set up and you're doing something kind of squirrely, you should probably only do that through the VPN, dumbass.
That's what they're there for.
Or even better, use Tor. That way you're not making, you know, some poor VPN company march through the mud and justify their actions, because you're going to get them shut down doing shit like that.
Well,
I use PIA. Dude. Don't shut them down. They're useful. Go ahead, man. Or go ahead, Ari.
I was just saying, you're giving them money, man. That's the idea. You want to be kept hidden.
Well, that's the thing, though, is there's other companies that have been taken to court and say, oh, yeah, here's all his IP information. Those are the ones you obviously don't want to go with.
Yeah.
So... yeah, it's cool, though, that PIA is actually holding up in court. No, we don't have logs. We have nothing to give you. You can subpoena us all day long. We don't keep these records. Now
that needs to be in their TV commercials.
I thought it was at one point. Now,
no, this court case.
Oh, this court case, yeah.
Standing up, I have nothing to give you.
Now, eventually, I think what's going to happen is that I don't know when, but it probably won't be that much longer. You're going to start seeing laws being passed that if you're operating this kind of service, you must retain records for X amount of time for law enforcement purposes. So
that defeats the point of this service.
Yeah.
Yeah, it will. But I guarantee you won't be that much longer before countries start passing those laws because of shit like this.
You think that would happen first, or
them probably the encryption backdoors?
Encryption. That's what I was going to ask. I would think that. Well, I mean, we've already seen them. They're already trying to outlaw some encryption or put a back door in it for us. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but they're trying to do it just by saying, having the FBI order it, or, you know, saying they want it. I'm saying that it's not going to be that much longer before they actually pass a freaking law and require it.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. I think they'll have an easier time of forcing VPNs to keep logs. Because I can think of a lot of really, really legitimate reasons for encryption. And VPNs, yeah, I don't want Facebook tracking me. I don't want whatever tracking me. But I can't think of a good reason why the cops can't get my internet history with a subpoena.
Sard, you want to hit that one? You want me to do it?
Go for it, man.
So the reason you use a VPN is because you do not trust the network you are connected to at the time. So if you're in a hotel or at a public Wi-Fi and you don't want your data being captured by that local network, that's a time to use the VPN connection. If you're dealing with internet connections that are heavily filtered, that's a time to use the VPN connection. If you're dealing with advocacy of unpopular political ideas, that's a good time to use the VPN connection.
And with the exception of the advocacy of unpopular political ideas, because that's actually the government targeting you, all of those, if a cop showed up and said, hey, I need to get Bob's records for your VPN, my network connection at the hotel wasn't compromised. My network connection at Starbucks wasn't compromised. It's just they're going to wherever VPN service and be like, hi, I need Madman's history of whatever horrible thing he was doing on the internet.
Well, there's the privacy problem, though. If you force PIA to keep such logs, that means anybody who works at PIA could violate that trust as well.
Yep.
Which is kind of the argument everybody has against Facebook right now. So.
Also, the argument people have against their cable companies.
Hmm.
They know everything I'm doing, and they're spying on me. Well, I don't know if it's spying on me. I'm using their network. They know everything I'm doing, at least.
And unless you force everything through a VPN. And the easy way to do that is install it on your router. But, yeah. So there are arguments back and forth. I mean, I get what you're saying about law enforcement. Because if somebody's, you know, I don't know, going after children or something like that. Yeah, you kind of want, you know, somebody have the ability to find that person and turn them off. But, you know, by
But the argument against encryption is, if you're saying put a backdoor in encryption, you're saying everyone's financial records should be public to everyone. That's not going to pass. So I think you'd have
But their argument's going to be the same. Oh, no, no, not everyone. Just when the cops show up and say, hey, we think this person's doing something wrong, we need those financial records.
Yeah. And the difference is the VPN is network traffic that you can trace. You don't need my credit card records.
But
now,
with
the VPN, they could see where the information's still going. They wouldn't see the record. They would go to Visa and be like, okay, what is this? But you're still not putting my credit card record out there for everyone to see.
Well, again, they would make the argument that it's not out there for everyone to see, that it's only when they need it. Hence is why they would require companies to keep logs requiring, in case they decide to subpoena them.
Well, with the VPN, the argument is still as everyone can see it. The only response is, and why shouldn't everyone know that Bob's a pedophile? We should all know that Bob's a pedophile so we can properly chastise him and skin him alive. It should be a community event. It's bonding.
Well, it's still going to come back to the same encryption argument because VPNs ultimately rely on encryption just like everything else. So, I don't know. I don't think... I mean, you get into a real philosophical argument here. Should the government have the right to violate anyone's privacy at will because somebody might be a criminal?
And it's not quite at will if they're getting a warrant or a subpoena.
That as easy as those are to get, you can argue it's at will. And the NSA does not exactly have a stellar track record when it comes to doing these things, through proper channels.
Well, the NSA's not doing it legally. But as far as getting a warrant, probable cause, I'm not going to say it's super hard, but they're getting somebody up there and saying, yes, Bob diddles children.
But okay, so that right there where you said, well, the NSA is doing it illegally, you're conflating two things. By saying, okay, the encryption must have a back door, you were creating a technical ability that did not exist before. By saying,
well, I'm not saying the encryption, I'm saying VPNs could be forced to keep records.
And again, you are creating a technical vulnerability that did not exist before. It's the same with an encryption backdoor. That doesn't have to be there. It doesn't have to exist. Because once it's there, the concept is only the government will do this through correct channels. But as we just proved with the NSA example, that's not always the case. These records could be hacked. These records could be leaked. You could have a foreign, if you have a hostile foreign government, they could hack into the thing. We were talking about Russia at the opening of the show. My preference is that they don't exist in the first place. The same thing with the encryption backdoor. I'd rather the logs just not fucking exist. And you say, well, no, they can pass a law saying that you have to keep it for subpoena and that you're okay with that. That means that even though it should only be used for a subpoena, there's no technical guarantee that it will only be used for a subpoena. And that's why I would have concern about these things being forced to exist.
Well, I'm still saying the difference between the VPN and the encryption. With the VPN, your stuff's already not necessarily encrypted. You're just going through a different
No, sir. That's a VPN connection is encrypted. That's the point of the damn thing.
Okay. Oh.
That's how it works.
If they want you, they'll get you.
Yeah, I mean, there's always tax fraud.
That's pretty much it. You're either going to go the way of Al Capone, or, they're going to get you if they want you. And we only just have to look at the FISA courts.
But
with the lack of looking at FISA courts.
The back door, I'm not sure the record would still be considered a back door because my Visa card is encrypted, but Visa still has to read it or otherwise they're not pulling money from my account.
Okay, but that's a financial ledger. When I'm talking about VPN records, there's no technical reason those need to exist. Visa has a very good argument for why the transaction record needs to exist, so they can show the money was spent. Why does what website I accessed need to exist as a record? I hit
but
something.
That's different than encryption, though.
Hang on.
You're not saying that it can't be encrypted. You're saying you don't want the record of the encrypted thing existing.
I've got line noise. Hang on. I've hit something. Okay. What did I hit? One of my lines is...
Yeah, you have two. That's squealing like a pig.
Yeah, you hear it too?
Yeah.
Yeah, where is that coming from? All right, time to start muting things and seeing what channel that is. That is that
the
channel.
Fun game.
It's this sound card. Hang on. Did that get it? I think that got it. Madman, are
you
using...
Yeah, still a tiny bit of line noise, man, but not enough to worry about.
I don't hear it now.
I wasn't hearing it to begin with, so
no,
I don't know if it was just my headset
on the stream.
Or what.
It would have been on the stream. Okay. I was hearing it in my headphones. It was in the mixer. So...
Oh, doing that in triplicate hurts.
Sorry. So, but back to the point I was trying to make. There's not a technical reason those logs need to exist, unlike a financial record like a Visa transaction. The government mandating that they exist so they could use them for law enforcement is an artificial creation. There's not a business reason or a technical reason for that to exist, which creates a artificial vulnerability, much like an encryption backdoor.
But it's not a backdoor, it's a different vulnerability. The data is still secure. It's just you and then your partner, whatever you're agreeing with as your network, both know it. Encryption backdoor, everyone knows it.
I think you're quibbling over semantics, Madman, because an encryption backdoor doesn't mean everyone knows it unless the backdoor is made public.
Well, with Visa, if it's encrypted from me to wherever Visa's processing it, the financial record isn't the encryption. The financial record, it's wherever they're storing that. So breaking their encryption isn't getting them the financial record unless you're looking at that particular transaction at that time. The financial record, you're hacking their system or whatever, getting into their data, whatever, however they're doing it. With the back door, you're just able to log into any transaction. You're not getting the ledger, you're getting that transaction because that transaction's open at this point. Whenever you're buying something at Kroger's point of sale, it's $1.50 coming out of whatever account, you're not getting that entire ledger.
You are jumping all over the map, dude. That is not...
Okay.
We are not having the same conversation here. You're talking about financial or records that need to exist. A lot of people don't use a Kroger card since you started to bring that in because they don't want that record to exist. So what I'm saying is that with a VPN connection log, there's no reason from a technical or business standpoint that log needs to exist. Forcing its existence creates a potential weakness in your privacy. An encryption backdoor also creates a potential weakness in the privacy because somebody else could find it, whether or not they are supposed to. And it doesn't need to be there. That's the point I was making.
Well, is the log still separate from the encryption? Because that's the point I'm looking at is encrypting it and logging it are two different things. Having a log there doesn't mean it's not encrypted. It just means the two parties, you and your VPN, both know what you're doing.
And since part of the point of the VPN is privacy, that's why you don't want such a thing existing, is that defeats the fucking point.
Right. But to the further point of law enforcement getting into this, how much privacy do you think law enforcement should have? I think if they can show probable cause, they can look at someone who's accused of being a pedophile's history. That history is still encrypted. I still don't have access to it in the public, and there's not a backdoor forcing other people or allowing other people to get it.
All right, well, let's take it out of the data realm because
still
I still
can't get it without showing up to wherever and saying, "Can I get these records?" They don't have access to the encryption.
Okay, fine. Let's install cameras in everyone's bathroom, pointed right up the fucking toilet, in case the cops ever decide they need that. That's what you're saying here by saying it's okay for them to pass laws requiring them to keep these logs.
And
put cameras in every bedroom and every bathroom, just in case something happens in there. Seriously, that's the same fucking argument.
And these cameras, no one can get access to them. without a warrant or whatever.
Unless they get hacked into or whatever company's running them gets into it, or there's a subpoena, or, you know.
I think that's the whole point that Morps is trying to make, Madman, is you're saying that no one else has access to these cameras except law enforcement, but we know that that's just not true. If you put a back door into something, that back door cannot just say law enforcement. There's going to be people that are going to find a way into these back doors that are not legally supposed to be there, but that's not going to stop them.
That's why I brought up
one. I'm a big supporter of the cameras in everybody's house, by the way. Just saying.
Well, I mean, that's why I was
making... You just want to look at my wang.
That's why I was saying about the NSA is we already know that even the government's own agents don't respect these rules. So.
Yeah, exactly. That's the argument that I support with defending encryption is because, okay, you cannot put a backdoor in encryption and guarantee that only legitimate people are going to be able to use it. Other people will find it. All encryption is math. There's nothing that stops anyone else from finding those back doors.
Didn't Snowden himself say that some of the private contractors were stalking women and looking up ex-girlfriends using...
Yes.
I don't know that Snowden said that, but that was definitely a story.
Yeah. No,
NSA said that. They've already fired and prosecuted some people for that. The NSA's owned up to that.
So,
anyway,
let's move on here. Last article from this week, and thinks fits quite well after that discussion. It's from Newsweek. Scientists at the at MIT created an artificial intelligence algorithm dubbed Norman to become a psychopath by only exposing it to macabre Reddit images of gruesome deaths and violence, according to a new study. They took an AI and only showed it the worst parts of Reddit. Why not 4chan? I mean, come on, go for broke, guys.
Dude, look what 4chan did to Tay. Come on, man. Do we really need another? We know exactly what's going to happen if we point it at 4chan.
Somebody took a photo of Norman from one of the renditions of the Psycho film and photoshopped a robot face on him. It actually looks pretty creepy in the article here. Nicknamed Norman after Anthony Perkins' character in Alfred Hitchcock's 1960s film Psycho, the artificial intelligence was fed only a continuous stream of violent images from various pernicious subreddits before being tested with Rorschach inkblot tests. The imagery detected by Norman produced spooky interpretations of electrocutions and speeding car deaths, whereas standard AI would only see umbrellas and wedding cakes. They made it mean. MIT scientists Panar Yandar, Manuel Serbin, and Ayad Rahan specifically trained the AI to perform image captioning, a deep learning method for artificial intelligence to cull through images and produce corresponding descriptions in writing. Their research set out to prove that the method of input used to teach a machine learning an algorithm can greatly influence its later behavior. The scientists argued that when the algorithms were accused of being biased or unfair, such as the high-profile cases of Facebook News or Google Photos, the culprit is often not the algorithm itself, but the biased data that was fed into it. This is actually pretty interesting. Among the Rorschach inkblots used to test the now-tainted AI, Norman said an image showed a man being shot dead, while a standard AI looked at the same image and saw a close-up of a vase with flowers. And another, Norman said he saw a man being shot in front of his screaming wife. While the AI was not exposed to disturbing images, saw a person holding an umbrella in the air. In one of the inkblot tests, the standard AI saw a touching scene of a couple standing together. Norman, however, saw a pregnant woman falling from a construction.
Wow.
Having only been exposed to negative images and depressing thinking, the AI's empathy logic simply failed to turn. Empathy logic? What empathy logic? They don't have that. For God's sake, it's word association image matching. If all they've ever fed it is horrible things, of course that's all it has to work with. These things are nothing more than giant conglomerations of if-then statements.
Right.
Well, yeah. How did they define a normal AI?
One of the Google lets you use.
Yeah, I think that's key to what earlier in the article it said about, you know, being programmed with the whoever programmed it programmed in their own bias.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely the case, and I think this proves it. And that does explain why when you start getting into algorithms like YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, trying to, you know, show you certain things, the people who put it together, their bias shows through it, which is why people accuse these platforms of being biased in one way or the other. And things like Facebook, where it's trying to tailor your newsfeed to fit what you want, this is why you end up with echo chambers in a lot of these groups, is because it only shows things that fit the model, and eventually the model gets trained to only fit, you know, the data that it's fed, which is, you know, if it's all coming from one source, that's how you end up with some of the weirder shit that gets, you know, brought up on Facebook and being promoted to everybody. Or YouTube's trending stuff showing all this, I don't know what it was. It's like weird Spider-Man costume and Disney characters. I don't know. That shit was confusing. So, anyways.
That explains why some of the crap on Netflix doesn't make sense when it says this was related to this.
Yeah. Well,
somebody else is watching history. It's not mine, damn it.
Yeah, it's just enough people have both of those in their queue that they go, oh, they must be related. So, robotics experts are hopeful that one day artificial intelligence will be able to understand a human's emotions simply by viewing a person's facial expressions. However, McDonald argued technology is still a long way from understanding the complexities of how human empathy operates. There's no empathy here. It's simply word association with images. Come on. These aren't fictional AI intelligences. They're fancy ways of accessing a database.
They want you to believe it's HAL fucking from 2010.
HAL tried to kill everyone.
Exactly, but that's what they're trying to get you to think, that it's a HAL. Like, the normies out there believe that AI is at the level of HAL right now. That's about the easiest way I can describe it.
AI is at the level of MySQL. Come on, guys. Seriously.
That'd be Dave. If it's HAL, I want to be Dave. I mean, he still tried to kill Dave, but he felt bad about it.
All right, let's. My voice is going anyway, so let's wrap up the thing here with the. Two things for you tonight in Digital Dojo. The first is Veracrypt is still going. I don't know if anybody's been following that. I'm actually kind of surprised. They forked it off TrueCrypt, and at first it looked like it was going to have a lot of problems, but they're still updating. So Veracrypt is free open source disk encryption software for Windows, Mac, Linux. We've talked about it before in the past. The last update actually came out March 30th of this year, so they're still going. And, you know, it's forked off TrueCrypt from when whoever was putting TrueCrypt together, I got scared, freaked out. I don't really know what happened. But the source code's public, so people can actually...
was that the one that was actually paying someone to analyze the code and make sure that it was actually as good as it claimed to be?
Sort of. It came out of that, because right as they were finishing up... That's when TrueCrypt, you know, put that weird message on their website and shut down. But all the audit said was we found a few minor flaws that are easily fixed. You know, they found some coding errors, right?
That's what I thought. Yeah, it came back pretty good, but it was weird because
it wasn't anything significant.
Closed down.
Well, they closed down. Right. The theory was that somebody threatened the author. They figured out who the author was and threatened them. Anyways.
It was some big old government conspiracy.
There's all kinds of those. But, yeah. So, anyways, they forked off of TrueCrypt 7.1a, and they've been going ever since. So, you know, cool. You know, in the last update, they added trim support for SSDs. You know, they've got free BSD support. Looks like there's even stuff for doing Raspis on here. So, you know, you need some decent disk encryption that's cross-platform. This is probably the way to go, especially for, like, flash drives and stuff like that. And, of course, it still is going to do the whole hidden, what do they call it, plausible deniability, where you have two encrypted volumes in the same space, and you can't tell the other is there from the first one. so right. that you can claim that, you know, oh, no, I gave you the password after you beat me with the wrench, you know. No, I gave you the only password, and there's no way to tell there's something else there. The other one, now this is a little bit different, but I think it's a useful tool to understand. There's a couple of these sites like this out here, but this is one I've used in the past. It's called ThreatMiner, and it's a big database of known indicators of compromise. Bad domain names, bad IP addresses, hashtags of malware samples. So if you have a whole bunch, like if you run a connection log off of your machine and you see it connecting to IP addresses you don't recognize, you could put those in here and see if they're known, say, command and control channels for malware, or, you know, if you pull a file hash and you don't know what it is, you know, you think maybe you've got a virus or something, you can pull that file hash, you can run it through here and see if it's a known indication of compromise. Of course, the database is not complete, but it's kind of nice to do that verification if you think something is misbehaving. So just because you don't find it in here doesn't mean it's not bad, but this can be kind of a way of finding if something is known bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, and also, too, if you're bored, it's kind of fun to dig through what some of the indications of compromise and you know, bad guy domains are. So, at one point, you used to be able to pull IP lists from, maybe it wasn't this guy. I thought you could pull the IP list from ThreatMiner so you can feed in a firewall and just not let any known bad guy IPs in. But I don't see that on here anymore. I might be thinking of something else. So, but anyways, you know, they've got some stuff on here with an API and you know, searching their notes. So you can actually, you know, find some different reports going back pretty far, actually, on different malware and different reports coming out, and they just kind of catalog it all. So it's a useful site, and of course that's all I've got for tonight. Listen to the stream, we're always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday. The Galaxy 15 radio site, the subreddit, and the IRC are the best ways to get a hold of us. Madman, closing thoughts.
I don't really have any right now.
All right, are you closing thoughts?
I don't have any, Dave.
No. I already said I was Dave. Fuck you. You mean one of the guys he wants to kill first. He's going to be sad when he kills me.
And I have nothing for this week.
All right, Sard, you got anything?
Madman loves gay frogs.
Do you understand that? Turn the freaking frogs gay. Shit is crap.